Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. Recently published research has shown that a large number of sole traders in the UK started their business as a hobby. I find that rather extraordinary, but rather good as well. How easy is it to do it and what is involved? Are you able to turn any hobby into a business? To find out more about this research and turning your hobby into a profitable business is psychologist and entrepreneur Lee Chambers, and Lee joins me on the line now. Good evening, Lee.
Good evening, Clive.
Thank you for your time this evening. Lee, is it reasonable to say that you can turn any hobby into a business?
Well, what I would say, Clive, is the research that Hiscox did saw that a quarter of sole traders started from that hobby base, from that interest, from that passion. And from their perspective, and the research shows that actually their revenues are higher than those who are not as passionate about the businesses. So we can look to see where hobbies do provide the potential to become a business and be something that we earn income from and become elements of our profession. But obviously that takes the ability to really look at that passion and see how it can be turned into a product or service that can, you know, provide value out there in the relevant market.
But, I mean, it has to be a hobby, as you say, that you can transpose into a business where you create the need and then the demand is there. You know, if you play golf, for example, as a hobby, that's more of a pastime, I suppose, than a hobby. But, you know, you're not going to be a professional golfer overnight, for example. So surely it has to be something that would gather traction.
I think what's quite interesting, Clive, is quite often when you say play a hobby or you partake in a creative activity, you'll quite often get to a point where you realise, ooh, I could really do with something to help me with this. And more often, it's not actually the activity itself, but a product or service which adds to the activity or solves a common problem. And that can often be an opportunity to look and set up a business that's actually based on your passion. It's solving something that you, as someone who partakes in that particular passion, has really seen a need for, and you're often part of communities, and things are continually highlighted as a challenge. And you also start to see the trends around your interest as well, and have the opportunity to maybe step into some of those trends and see how you can build a sustainable business from those.
In your experience, though, Lee, why do you think people turn their hobbies into businesses? Other than to make money, clearly.
Yeah, and I think that even when we looked deeper into Hiscox research, it wasn't making money that was often the driver. It was the ability to do something that was purposeful alongside the increased flexibility of running a business and the freedom and control that offers, especially in these uncertain times. So naturally, it's looking towards that aspect where you can start to bring something that you really enjoy or you have a passion for or a deep interest in, something that you're willing to research more than other things, something that, you know, you've been surrounded by and you're very aware of the lingo, the community, where people who do this type of activity hang out. So you actually end up with more knowledge to be able to utilise when you start that courageous business journey.
For somebody, I mean, here's a hypothetical example then. Imagine that I make greeting cards, and I make handmade greeting cards all year round, but, you know, the focus is generally on Christmas, if you like. How do I know in my own mind when it's time to take it from a hobby into a business?
Yeah, so what's interesting is so many of these hobby-based businesses are started with people's savings when they get, you know, a time in their life where they're actually able to take that step. And quite a few start again as the idea of a side hustle, where it started alongside something else and gradually builds up to a point where it becomes a main income. Now, naturally, you know, a lot of people are looking in this, you know, current climate for additional streams of income. And so often, actually looking at your passions and looking at things that you can start to do, you know, quite quickly without massive amounts of capital, quite often those opportunities are seen within the everyday lives that people lead, and they can more likely see those opportunities, really open up gaps to be able to then do something from a business perspective. That does also come with the reality that, you know, they do take that step. And, you know, running a small business, it does have its challenges, Clive. It's not all plain sailing.
Yeah. And I think as well, though, a lot of people, if you say to somebody, oh, you know, you're doing well with that, why don't you set up your own business? They go, oh, crumbs, no. And I think for a lot of people, it's either too much like hard work, or I think to go through the legal process and the litigious side of things, I think it can be a bit daunting. But, you know, let's say going back to the greetings cards, then, you know, I sit there and think, right, I've got enough interest, I'm going to make a go of this. What should be the first step that I take?
Yeah, so if you kind of got to that point where you're looking to take that step, it's then a really good opportunity to look at your business fundamentals around marketing, around sales, and really starting to put those processes in place. Because what I like to say in these type of passion-based businesses is passion is really powerful when you've got a plan to really kind of channel it. And also that's where, you know, the thing around protection insurance to make sure you are covered and you've got access to those kind of resources as you start that journey. There's obviously a lot of support out there. It's about sometimes finding the right support for you that you need and then really starting to use that ability to research and look at your competitors and really kind of assess the need and then go out there and prove the concept. And for so many passion business owners, they really are more resilient and have that drive and are a little bit more innovative because they're already involved within that circle and tend to be able to maneuver around it more easily. And those challenges they face on a regular business day basis, they're more likely to be able to push through those and keep doing the meaningful and purposeful thing that they set up.
You mentioned that there is support out there. If I wanted to start my business up, I actually don't know who I'd go to.
Yeah, so even from my own perspective, having started two businesses, you know, when you actually look to insure your company, like I did, they, you know, Hiscox have an amazing small business hub full of resources in all the different aspects of actually building your business, way beyond insurance. So there are trusted sources out there that can offer you those resources. And it's so much a case of not just being a sole trader and thinking you have to do it all on your own, but really starting to kind of spread that net and start to think about the other people who can support you on that journey. Mm-hmm. And that, again, you know, brings their skills, brings their knowledge. And so often also that sounding board too, which is vital when you set off on that journey.
I think the one thing I've noticed since, you know, we've had the COVID pandemic, and I was saying earlier on, you know, regretfully, it hasn't gone. It is still around, unfortunately. But I'm surprised and delighted to learn that so many businesses in our locality here are either thriving or they're new businesses and people have actually taken the plunge and thought, right, you know, I'm actually going to do this. I would have thought COVID would have played a reasonable part in suppressing that because obviously people aren't going out. Or are we changing the way in which we run our businesses now?
I definitely think over the past 10 years, there has been a marked increase in sole traders. And, you know, these passion-based businesses, they're adding £39 billion to the economy. What I've kind of seen, especially over the last few years, is a lot of people really looking at the things that are meaningful to them and the things that would give them a sense of fulfillment and purpose and really being able to take that more courageous step with all the uncertainty that's surrounding us, but actually feeling assured in themselves and able to take those steps and have more agile businesses, which again are more resistant and resilient when we face challenging times, both economically and in the markets.
I think as well the internet plays its part because so many people now, I mean, you know, any business, it's almost, you know, mandatory. You've got to have a website and you've got to be able to process orders online because in a case like you've just described, at least people then can turn to the internet and people did it in their millions, of course, and probably still are because, again, that set a precedent for the way in which we shop. And then people can continue with that via online orders.
And I definitely think when we actually look at the kind of sole trader community in this country, it's a very supportive place, but it's also really diverse. there are people who, you know, do have digital services, and that's all that they do. We have, you know, a hybrid where they have physical and digital, and we still have lots of sole traders who actually deliver a service, say, into a building, or actually things that can't be done digitally yet. But the beauty of that is, you know, the ability to look at the support for a really diverse group of people. When it comes down to it, they're actually, you know, creating 55% more revenue than those who are not passion-based. So it's actually a real big driver of business performance. And in these challenging times, it can actually be a competitive advantage where you're actually able to innovatively see how you can change things and be kind of ahead of the game, because you already know the communities and the marketplaces where your products are going to go into.
And I think, as you allude to there, research is key. Know your market. I mean, I was watching, I'm sure you've been watching The Apprentice. I was watching it last night. And I mean, I'm not a business person like that, and I'd fall at the first hurdle. But some of the errors that they make are quite fundamental because they don't do their research.
And I will say, Clive, that I do probably think maybe some of it is made for, you know, reality and made for our entertainment.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, because you can watch the outtakes on the internet and they're hilarious, so I'm sure you're right.
But yeah, no, again, and sometimes that passion, I don't know if I actually see that passion in the boardroom, but I definitely see it in the sole traders that I meet on a regular basis.
Out of all the businesses that get set up, from the research, what is the ratio of likelihood against, you know, versus some that fail and some that succeed? Because there's always that fear that it could go wrong.
Yeah, so, I mean, digging a bit deeper into the research, we really looked at the emotions behind businesses. And, you know, a lot of business owners identified that running a small business is stressful, but the ones who were passionate were actually able to see the opportunities in the stress, and that a lot of that stress actually came because the business meant a lot to them. Now, naturally, when you step, when you take that step in business, it's challenging, and you know there are lots of barriers and obstacles to face. But again, what the research does show, Clive, is that those who are passionate and those who are driven and feel like they have a real deep knowledge of the market they're moving into are much more likely to be resilient through the challenges and much more likely to build that sustainable business that keeps on making both revenue impact, but also more social and environmental impact as well.
Now, you were, I think you were saying earlier on that it's important that these businesses contribute to the UK economy. There's quite a high percentage of, you know, obviously business rates and so on and so forth that they pay, and VAT and you know, other taxes and levies really do make a significant contribution to the country's economy, don't they?
Yeah, and I think that sometimes we forget in the world of seeing big companies and big brands all across the news, that actually a lot of the small companies, the SMEs, all the way down to the sole traders, are actually keeping the country running behind the scenes and doing so much to support, you know, the local economy, regional economy and the national economy. And, you know, for me, as someone who runs a business as well, I feel like that little part of what I do plays a big part in the overall picture. And especially when we collaborate with other small companies, we're actually able to do a lot more than we could as a single entity. So it's definitely a case of looking at that contribution. And it's great, you know, that Hiscox support that. There's a lot of support that Hiscox do give to small businesses, which is really important because, again, it allows them to be covered. And it's that advice and guidance that they also give through the hub.
Now, you mentioned your businesses that you started up. Tell me about those.
So the first one, Clive, was a video game business. I launched it 13 years ago now. It started from my parents' back bedroom after I'd lost my graduate scheme in the credit crunch. And we grew it into a, you know, a sustainable, good business that was, you know, working across Europe at a time. That, you know, was a journey that I went on. I learned an awful lot about myself. There was plenty of ups and a lot of downs. But what happened for me is I suffered some significant health challenges in the middle of that journey that made me feel that actually I really wanted to take my newfound passion for, you know, health and personal empowerment and actually build the wellbeing business that I own today. And, you know, that is now my second passion-based business that's really kind of focused off my own lived experience. And we work with a wide range of companies to help them strategically bring well-being in for their employees and deliver, you know, tailored well-being solutions to make sure in these times of uncertainty that employees are as healthy as they can be and businesses are healthy as well.
Now, you set your first business up 13 years ago. How long has your second business been in existence, been trading?
So it's been trading since just before the start of the pandemic, Clive. And, you know, it's been a real roller coaster of a journey, if you can imagine how that's been. But I suppose the beauty of that being quite a new business is you have to be very much on your toes anyway, for no matter what might happen. So there's been a lot of evolution. There's been a lot of agility and a lot of moving around, but it's become a business again that's driven by passion. And I wake up in the morning really excited to go and work with my clients to meet new ones and to really support people in enabling those healthy behaviours and helping businesses to be more sustainable.
And that's a good thing, and it's good to hear that, because so many people have a job, not necessarily their own business, but they have a job which they actually get up in the morning and dread going into. So, and at the end of the day, you work for two-thirds of your life, so you should be happy, but the business should also be as successful as you can possibly make it. But if you were to look back, Lee, on your 13 years, let's go back to the inception of your first business, and obviously you've had a learning curve with both of them, to be fair. What things would you do differently now if you were going to start those businesses up again in 2022?
I would definitely get more support earlier. I think that especially in my first business, I was young, Clive. I was in my early 20s. I was quite headstrong. I'd been told by people that I'd struggle. I didn't have much of a network. I was struggling to get funding. But I carried on and made it a success. But at the same time, that made me a little bit resistant to learning, a little bit less open-minded, because I was going to make it happen. And looking back, I could have channeled that passion a bit more wisely. And it's easy to say that in hindsight, but I would have been, again, more willing to have mentors support me. I would have been more willing to really look at the different things I could, you know, amplify and utilise. Because there is actually more out there than you think. But unless you start digging into it and looking for the support and realising that actually you can learn a lot of lessons by listening to other people's business journeys and finding out what things they've fallen into along the way, so you don't end up doing that yourself.
No, I suppose, you know, the whole point is learning off other people. But do you think to an extent, you can embrace other ideas and learn off other people, but do you think sometimes you just have to be a bit bloody-minded about things and think, no, I'm actually going to do this. I'm going to focus on this element, this ingredient of it. And then you see that journey through from A to Z.
Yeah, I definitely would say that resilience and staying power, Clive. You can never really wait till it's perfect to go. Sometimes you just need to go and, you know, take that really simple thing and gradually shape it into what it needs to be on the journey. And, you know, that is a courageous step, and it does take bravery, because quite often it's a bit of a step into the unknown. And for people, especially you've been employed previously, it's a whole new type of working to get used to. But so often those who are passionate and those who start from a hobby, actually, they find themselves willing to learn, they find themselves open-minded, and they find themselves realising that it can and does get better as you go along.
Sure.
And instead of waiting to start and trying to come up with idea after idea, sometimes just putting your foot down and trying it can actually be incredibly beneficial. But that, again, is where having that support and being open and realising that you can protect yourself from different eventualities is really handy when you start that journey.
I also think it's fair to say that fortune favours the brave. It is an old adage, but I think it's quite true.
Yeah, and I would definitely say in business, Clive, if you don't do anything, your business will eventually fail.
Yeah.
You have to do something. And sometimes that's taking quicker, braver decisions than you might be used to. But that being proactive in business is so often a skill, and sometimes speed is a strength. So by actually making it happen And the most important thing is that it's never always going to go off to plan, but there's a lesson in every time something doesn't. And if you're open to those lessons, you learn a lot about how to run a business, but you also learn an awful lot about yourself along the process.
What have you learned about yourself, Lee?
So I've learned I'm more resourceful than I think, but I've also learned that, you know, sometimes other people are much better at different parts of a business than I am. And I've really seen where I can bring some value, but I've also seen where I'm really not that good.
But then there's no harm in asking for help and guidance from others, though, as you were saying earlier on.
No, definitely. And sometimes we have these ideas that entrepreneurs are these amazing people who can do all these things. But so often, it's all the amazing people behind them that support them that actually make it possible. And, you know, no solo trader is actually truly on their own. It's a big community, and by being part of that network, you'll always have people, a sounding board, people to support you, and people to be able to help you do all the different parts, because sometimes when you run a business, you have to wear a lot of different hats, and finding out which few hats really fit your head is quite the journey.
Yes, but as you say, that there's plenty of help out there. So for somebody who is actually now, you know, undertaking a hobby, they might be doing something this evening while listening to this, and they think, do you know, I wonder if I could make this work and metamorphosize into a business. What should be their first step? Let's go back to this. What do they need to do on Monday morning to make to take that first step?
Yeah, so the first step is we do have, you know, so much access to information now on the internet. Is to really kind of sit down with the idea for that product or service that they have and see if it already exists in a form. That will give them an idea of what the competition is. It'll give them an idea of, you know, who to start asking as a bit of a sounding board. And it'll really start to get them to see, okay, so what skills might I need to be able to make this business a reality? Because looking at those aspects and really having that bit of research before you start, and then, you know, starting to create a bit of a plan so you can channel that passion. Mm-hmm. But again, you do have, if it's a hobby-based business, you probably have quite a lot of knowledge already. It's just important to make sure you sense check that through research and looking at the bigger picture.
Now, you've got your website, haven't you, Lee? Give that a shout out.
Yes, so my website is leechambers.org, and on there you can find my blog, information about my business, and what I've been up to recently.
Lee Chambers, psychologist and entrepreneur, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive. That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.